You are well able, Lord, to take care of it. For the God of Israel neither slumbers nor he sleeps. And he watches over his people, Lord. I speak life. Speak life into every situation. Into every physical body that has been declared dead. We believe you are the resurrection and the life. We believe by your stripes we were healed. We believe that if God is for us, who can be against us? We believe God sits in heaven and he laughs. The plots of all these kings and these rulers. We just thank you for salvation. The gift of faith that caused us to repent and to believe in you. Not to put any trust in any of our works, but only in the work of God. And the work he does in and through us. We commit this time into thy hands, Lord. Everyone listening, anywhere in the world. Speak to us, prepare us, Lord. Though it may look delayed, yet all these things will come to pass. Because it is written. And scripture cannot be broken. And only he who endures till the end shall be saved, is what your word says. And I pray the hearing of your word will bring endurance in us, O Lord. We just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We go back to Revelation 13. Remember, Revelation 13 is the chapter that pivots from heaven onto earth, because the war was in heaven on earth in chapter 12. And now we come to chapter 13. Remember, 12 to 14 identifies the main enemies of the body of Christ, the Christians. He's called the devil, Satan, dragon, the beast from the sea, the beast from the earth. And then, of course, the system he creates, the Babylonian system, the Babylon. And in Revelation 15 to 20, we see the enemies being destroyed, but not in the order they are introduced to us. First, Babylon is destroyed, then the beast, and then Satan. But when they are revealed to us, we are revealed in a different order. First Satan, and then in verse chapter 12, then the beast, and then in 18 and 19, we see Babylon. And when we come to chapter 13, like we saw on Monday, you will not understand the book of Revelation, especially these chapters, until we also simultaneously look into Daniel chapter 9, 7 to 9, especially here. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And on his horns, ten crowns, and on his heads, on his heads, a blasphemous name. The beast which he saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. All the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. That tells you the time period. This is the second half of the tribulation period. Then you come towards, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. An authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, and whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And verse 10 says, this calls, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. 11 onwards is talking about the second beast that rises from the earth. So we will see Satan, the dragon, in chapter 12, who has been cast down, giving his power to this beast. This beast is called a beast because of his nature, okay? Not because of his looks. Because looks-wise, he will be dazzling, like Absalom, okay? He'll be dazzling. And he will have it all the gifts, the charisma, the charm, everything he will have, okay? And we will see Satan giving this beast. This beast also could be the beast that rises up from the bottomless pit and kills the two witnesses. We are not sure, because maybe not, okay? But he's a monstrous being in nature, okay? Frankenstein monster. Not in looks, but in character, because he's got all the characters of the four animals we see in Daniel 7, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the fourth beast, which is unnamed. Okay. In Revelation 13, also could be the final embodiment of the age of the Gentiles. Okay. The unbelieving part. And the beast is the final world ruler, which we see in Daniel 7. Okay. In Daniel 7, verse 23 to 27, we see the culmination and the coming of the kingdom of Christ. 23 to 20. He said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom. Okay, this is this beast, okay, the fourth beast. We shall be different from all the other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. This is the Antichrist final. The ten horns are ten kings who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three of these ten kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saint shall be given into his hand for a time, times and half a time. You see, the period is the same for the last part of this, of the tribulation, that's 3.5 years. He will be given by God absolute power over the whole earth, or every tongue, every tribe, even the saints, and he will be allowed to kill them. The court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forward. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ, okay, at the end of that. And the kingdom and the dominion. The greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions must serve and obey him. So this is how it will end. So this is the mid-tribulation period, okay. And during this post-mid-tribulation, that the second half, if you notice, the protection for the saints will be taken away. And this will be the greatest age of martyrdom from Abel onwards. And then the 2000 years of church history, martyrdom is a fact. And what will happen is that this is that period where saints will have no protection. Okay. So from that time onwards, Satan will actually live in a world ruler called the beast. Okay? Like I said, like Christ, in Christ the fullness of God dwelt. In this beast, the full, he will be always copying, okay? In him, the fullness of all of the devil will be there. And we are coming a full circle from Nebuchadnezzar, the world ruler, to this Antichrist, who will be the final world ruler. And like I said, he will have all the characteristics of the earlier kingdoms, their power and their characteristics, but he will be the worst of them all. So if you come to Revelation 13, and verse 2, and this is possible because the dragon gives him his power. Why is he able to do that? Even not only that, he has all these beastly characteristics. He will also have this power because Satan will give him his throne, his power, and he will give his authority. So he's just mimicking God, okay, and God is allowing it. Now we come to verse 3, okay, verse 3, you will see one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Okay, remember he has seven heads. But in chapter 17, we will see the seven heads represent seven world leaders. If you come to 17 verse 3 and then read from 9 to 13. Okay. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Okay. The woman, the system is seated on these seven. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Okay, so there is a city, but there is also a people. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has yet not yet to come. That is seven. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. So there's an eighth one that is coming. Okay. So he is not part of the seven and is of seven and is going to perdition. His nature, he gets his power, authority, nature from the seven, but he's not one of the seven. Okay. The seven will give all their power and authority to this eighth one, but he is the one, son of perdition. The ten horns. Yeah. No, the ten horns you saw are also 10 kingdoms who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. The beast will give them, okay? These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So you will see the centralization that will take place, and everything is moving towards that, okay? Moving towards that, but there is still time. I believe so, okay? So if you go to verse 3, back to verse 3 of Revelation 13, I saw one of his heads that was mortally wounded. It could be possible that the Antichrist himself is assassinated by someone during the mid-tribulation. Okay? But it fits in with his plan. Okay? Because if you study carefully, the power of the Antichrist reaches its zenith during the mid-tribulation because he gets the entire power of the devil. So what happens is he's not one of the seven and he's not one of the tenth. When you're compared with the seventh, he's called the eighth. Okay, so what happens is he comes to power by negotiating a covenant with Israel, which allows them to continue, build the third temple and start sacrifices. The whole idea of the temple is basically to start the sacrifices, which we see in Daniel 9. Okay, we don't have to go there. But when he reaches the height of his power, he will suffer a fatal head wound, meaning he will be probably assassinated. But it says his wound will be healed, meaning that he will come back to life. If you see Revelation chapter 5 verse 6 where Jesus is introduced in the throne room, the imagery is exactly the same. I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven. So he was slain. Okay, as of meaning he's resurrected. So this is the last thing the devil wants to imitate, and it has been denied to him all the 6,000 years. He could never resurrect a man. That has never happened. The only one who has resurrected from the dead is Jesus Christ. Okay. Now what will happen is he will resurrect. The assassination attempt may seemingly look to succeed, but he will come back. The last miracle he is waiting for. Because everything else he does, he brings fire down from heaven. All kinds of stuff he has done. But this is the last. And when he does, you will realize he will become powerful than ever. Because the Bible says, all the world marveled and followed the beast. Because this is what man is looking for, to conquer death. And he will portray himself as having portrayed death. Now you will see, Christ's death and resurrection is pivotal to our faith. And that is what the resurrection is, what changes the whole ball game. But if you notice, if you know, Christ's resurrection was hidden from the world. Only revealed to the disciples, because we are called to walk by faith. On the other hand, the Antichrist's resurrection will be public, because they are called to walk by sight. Okay, they are called to walk by sight. So the whole world will marvel, okay, and they will go after the beast. Okay, like if that's what, see, this is what the devil was always pushing Jesus. Make it public, you jump from there and let everybody see, everybody see, everybody see. And that's always the temptation we also all under, no, like, why don't you show your power, oh God? Why don't you show your power, oh God? But, you know, like we saw yesterday, we need to understand the importance of faith. Like I said, I made a statement yesterday in Nepali and then in English like that, no? Never put your trust in the miracles of God. Put your trust in the person of God, because there is no guarantee he will replicate his miracles. There's no guarantee. There's the two different things. Okay, if you go to Psalm 103 and verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Okay, there are two things. The ways of God is who God is, the person, the character, the nature of God. The acts are demonstrations of his power. If you put your faith in the acts of God alone, you will be disappointed, because he doesn't replicate it often. Okay. He parted the Red Sea only once. He never did it a second time. He turned water into wine only once. He never did it a second time. He walked on water only once. He did not do. So this is the problem. Okay, this is the problem of miracle ministries. Miracle ministry is only a sign. Okay. And if you put, that's why when they asked Jesus for these signs, he said it's a wicked and an adulterous generation that looks for a sign. I will give you only one sign. That is the sign of Jonah. This is where we have to be careful, because this is exactly what the devil will use. Why does the whole world follow the beast? Because they saw the sign. They saw the sign. That's why the Bible talks about lying signs. Okay? So if you go back there, Vijay, if you go back there, put the phone away, Malkriya. Your mind is into play. You're writing the notes down. Okay? I thought you were looking at the phone. I wanted to come there and smack you. Okay, you're writing the notes. Okay. Okay? Now, if you look over there, so they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with them? Words are almost identical to what Israel said when they crossed the Red Sea. What people say when they see and believe. That's why Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Okay, this is exactly, if you want to go, you can go to Exodus 15 and verse 11. Okay, 15 and verse 11. Exodus 15 verse 11. That's when Miriam and all sing, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious, fearful, doing wonders? See, remember, the focus is on wonders. The question is, what happens when he doesn't do wonders? What happens when he doesn't do wonders? This is what we are warned about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 to 9. Okay, this is what we are warned about. Because today, the whole church, one whole part of the church is into wonder ministry. I'm not negating it, but it's a very dangerous thing to build your faith on that. Then the lawless one will be revealed, when the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And how does he come? The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and see lying wonders, because they will believe that. So behind the scenes, Satan was always there, behind the seven rulers, the 10 world leaders, and the power he used was the power to deceive them. So he probably causes three kings, remember, to assassinate the Antichrist so he could resurrect him and set his plan into motion. And this is the moment in tribulation when the Antichrist will consolidate all power. Till then, the first half, he doesn't have that power. Second half, post-resurrection, you will realize, okay, that he consolidates the power. So you will see what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 11, 36, 37, and then verse 39. The king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemy against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for at what has been determined shall be done. God is allowing all this, okay? He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. Then in verse 39, then he shall act against the strongest fortress with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge, and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Okay. In 9:27, we will also see he will put an end to the sacrifice, because he alone wants to be the God of the whole world. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week is 7 days, which is 7 years. In the middle of the week, at the middle of the tribulation period, what he will write, he shall bring an end to sacrifice. Okay? He will bring an end to sacrifice. The reason is because the sacrifice, knowingly or unknowingly, is being offered to the living God. And he doesn't want that. So what will he do? It's working? Yeah. What he will do is that, in the middle of it, he will get in and he will take over. Okay, he will stop it. He will stop. Okay, and then this is what Jesus is warning us in, not us, the people in that age, Matthew 24, verses 15 and 16. I think we will stop and we'll go to prayer because we don't want to lose power. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. This is what will happen. That is the period in history where the Antichrist will enter into the holy place. He will stop the sacrifices, enter into that third temple and declare himself as God. And then he says, when you see these things, then flee, because the end is here. Okay? Isaiah also warns this about to the Jews in Isaiah 24. We'll just read that because it's part of one thing. 28, verse 14 and 15 and verse 18. The Jews who are deceived and will make this pact with the Antichrist. Hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule these people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. And in verse 18, okay, this is the book of 17 and 18 is talking about Christ over there. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. Okay, it's talking about what will happen. It's the greatest massacre will happen during these 3.5 years, the last stage of humanities, because the Antichrist will be celebrated by the world as the risen Christ. And what he will do is that he will end the terror of the judgments brought by the two witnesses during the first half, and the whole world will accept him. He will establish the one worldwide government he wanted, one center of worship centered on him and his God, that is Satan. Okay? And we will see this being confirmed in Revelation 13, 5 to 10. What you see over there is there is no escape. Okay, five. Yeah, they worshipped, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Second half. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. The second half is different, okay? This is describing. Because death and the resurrection of the Antichrist has a profound effect on the world, just as the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has on the church. Now the world is set against anyone who would oppose the Antichrist. Okay, we'll go. We saw in Revelation 12 and verse 17 how this dragon, Satan, will go, okay. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How he does it is through this beast. Okay, he will use the Antichrist, the beast, and his system to hunt down every saint who opposes him. Okay? And his war will be successful because in verse 7 says he will be given authority. Okay? And this is the final dividing line in humanity. The final dividing line, because the verse 8 will say everyone whose name is not written in the book of life will worship him. And therefore the warning is given. Anyone who has an ear, let him hear. This moment during mid-tribulation becomes the final dividing point. From that point, anyone who worships the beast cannot be saved. It's over. Cannot be saved. There's no repenting, turning back. It is not. Okay, so ultimately, you will have to choose to worship the beast and live, or worship Christ and die, but have eternal life. And that is why in verse 10, we have given this very sobering reality. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. There is no escape. Who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And what is asked is, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. There's nothing the saints can do. This demands patience, it demands saints. And we'll ask, why is it so? Because this is the generation who has been given the most. They were given every opportunity to believe before this. Now they have believed, finally when the devil enters through the beast into the Holy of Holies and seats, that is when they realize they have been duped. It's basically talking about Jews and the Gentiles. Order will change. The Jews who will now realize they have been deceived, and the Gentiles, the Christians, who realize they have no option but to die, because they have been given the most, but they chose to believe only at the end by sight, by seeing these signs. And the Bible actually says it is better to die at this point than to live because of what is coming. We'll stop with that. Revelation 14 and verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow him. Because you don't want to live after that if you are a saint. Because the earth will go through the worst period, the anger of the dragon and the beast, and the horror of God's judgments. It will all come together, on poured on the life. And God says it's better to die than to live from that point onward. So these are the sober warnings to us to believe, to believe, to believe. Don't postpone, don't postpone, don't postpone. Because as time goes on, it becomes more and more and more difficult. Yes, we will stop there. And before the invert, by the way, all those who are listening online, we lost power. So we are racing against time. We need to finish before the inverter says goodnight. So Sammy, quickly. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Although all these things will come to pass, We have seen the end. That he will destroy this wicked one, this lawless one, with the sheer brightness of your coming. Then the kingdom of Christ will begin, and it is an everlasting kingdom, Father. Every time we hear, we look, we see, we thank you for the gift of salvation. It is always a gift. We could have never worked for it. We could have never earned it. We just thank you, thank you, thank you for the work of the cross that made it possible for us to receive that gift of salvation, the gift of faith that caused us to believe in the work of God's only Son, Father. We just thank you, Lord. You are the resurrection and our life. Even now I speak that, Lord. Whatever the doctors may declare there, Father,
yes, Lord,
it's still possible with you, Father.
Yes, yes.
Father, I speak life. life, the resurrection life.
Yes, yes.
Into Hamid, Lord, into Brad, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
The very God, Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Your word says will quicken our mortal bodies. Pray, let that power enter into them. Like it entered into those two witnesses. We read in Revelation 11, Lord, and they stood up back on their feet. Though they had been declared dead for 3 days, they stood back on their feet. And I pray, Father, you are the same God. You are able. Stands and yours till the end shall be saved, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And nobody will quit, oh Father.
Yes,
they
Lord.
Will stand, Father, because victory is guaranteed, oh
yes,
Father.
Father.
The enemy is defeated.
Yes, Lord. Thank
oh
you,
Father. Father, we
thank
just
thank you. Thank you.
Take
Lord.
Authority in the name of
yes,
Jesus.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Bind every power of darkness, every demonic entity released against your people. We bind them in the
name
of Jesus.
Jesus.
We send them back right from where they were come.
Yes, Lord.
And all these wicked ones will fail and fall. B.O.
Yes, Lord.
Will fall. Kamala will fall. Biden will fall. All these ones seated in the places of power without realizing all authority and power is with Jesus. They will fall. They will stumble. They will fall because they have abused their power.
Yes, they have.
To harm innocent people.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
they
Lord.
They will fall. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Every lying tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn it in the name of Jesus. Because that's our heritage as the servants of God. Our righteousness is of you and you alone, our Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for today. We
thank
you for your victory today.
Thank you.
Thank you. You will take your saints in triumph, Father.
We
thank you for the resurrection power. We thank you for the healing. We thank you for the provision. We thank you of all for your presence with your people everywhere, Lord. Even in the ICU. You are right there with them, Father.
You are, you are.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
go
Lord.
With your people. Go before your people.
Yes,
make
Lord.
Every crooked path straight,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
We will stand and see
the
deliverance
of the Lord.
Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Once again, we declare, thine is
the kingdom,
the power and the glory
forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.